It is the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. A nihilist show again this week, a short week. He takes the bye weeks off. I don't know what you did for your long weekend, but I went out camping, and I actually want to talk about that during the course of the show. We're going to get into the Riders. Huge win, 7-1. And of course, that's going to dominate the conversation today. Actually, start thinking about your grades right now from Saturday's game, if you haven't already, because we're going to get into that. But I also want to get into your camping destinations, your Saskatchewan hotspots. So my wife and I, we like to camp, and we came from Alberta, so this is our first summer here, and we've been trying to hit different places, right? So we've been exploring the province. And that's one thing we were really, really excited. One of many things we were excited about when we were moving here was the camping. Because if I'm being honest, Alberta is, it's just not great. There's a couple of spots, but Saskatchewan overwhelmingly, I think there's way more options. So the first spot we hit was Moose Mountain Provincial Park out at Kennesee Lake, which we enjoyed. Buffalo Pound Provincial Park, which is a pretty quick jaunt for us here. That was, I liked that lake. I wasn't a huge fan of the campground, but it was okay. The Cypress Hills Interprovincial Park is where we went this past weekend, and we were blown away by that. And we were actually there with some friends of ours from Alberta, and I'd say about halfway through the trip, my buddy Mark was like, we clearly need to start exploring Saskatchewan. He was blown away by Cypress Hills. So we did that this past weekend. We also did, help me out. Sorry. Katepwa. When you're sending these hotspots in, keep in mind that I may have a problem with some of the pronunciation. Katepwa Beach, which we also thoroughly enjoyed. So that'll be part of the conversation today. We want your camping spots, and you can text them in, you can call them in. We'll talk a little bit, because we plan on going out at least once more before the summer's out. Can you believe it is August? My goodness, what happened to the summer? All right, the starting lineup here on the Green Zone, the top sports stories of the day, and of course, we'll start with the Riders, an impressive win in Montreal. Montreal sends for Harris, down the middle, end zone, touchdown! Second and 8 for Harris, looks to the end zone, far corner, drops it in there for Keyshawn Johnson, touchdown Riders! Harris continues to roll. That was a very impressive win. The Riders are now 7-1, the best record in the CFL, the first win in Montreal since October 30th, 2021. We looked that up because we knew that this ended a losing streak, so much for the Montreal Flu. So, yeah, it has been a while since the Riders have had a chance to win in Montreal. And it looks like Corey Mace has sort of shaken this Eastern trip thing off. This is the Riders' second bye week of the season. They'll be back in action Saturday, August 16th. A 1 o'clock start, so an afternoon matchup. The Riders will be hosting the Hamilton Ticats, the second-best team in the CFL right now. So you might want to look into tickets. The other conversation we're going to have today on top of the camping and on top of your grades from the game on Saturday, what impressed you the most about the Riders this past weekend? All right, because I think a lot of people still had some question marks about this team moving forward. So we're going to do that as well. What impressed you the most about the Riders this past weekend with that win in Montreal? We'll move over to baseball. The Jays beating up on the Rockies.
How is this slider breaking?
High drive by Bo Bichette. Deep left field. Beck runs out of room. See you later again. And now Bo Bichette rips one. Center field and deep. Going back, Doyle at the wall. It is out of here. Another home run in this game for Bo Bichette. A three-run blast, and it's 13-1 for the Blue Jays in the seventh.
Bichette got a couple of homers. Dalton Varsho, he also gets a home run. That's his first since returning to the lineup. He was back on Saturday when they were playing the Rays. The Jays' second of three in Colorado tonight. That's a 6:40 start. Right now, Toronto is sitting at 66-48, tied with Detroit for the best record in the American League. The Yankees have had a bit of a slide here, although they're getting Judge back, so it looks like they might be able to turn that around. They continue to slide, and the Jays are still first in the AL East and three games ahead of the Red Sox, 5.5 games ahead of the Yankees right now. We'll move over to hockey. The Islanders signed their number one pick, Matthew Schaefer.
In the 2025 NHL draft, the New York Islanders are proud to select from the Erie Otters, Matthew Schaefer.
Schaefer was obviously first overall, and they signed a three-year entry-level contract. He is a defenseman. Schaefer broke his collarbone. I don't know if you're a big World Juniors fan, but I am. I remember that play. It was early on in the tournament, and I remember thinking, my goodness, it was sort of a younger addition to the team. At the time, only 17 years old, but looked like he was going to be a standout in that tournament. So he hit the crossbar or the post, slid into a broke his collarbone, and he was out for the tournament. Schaefer was cleared for contact on May 1st, so he took part in the Islanders' development camp in July. And around that time, they moved Dobson to Montreal. So I don't know if that means that they're trying to open up a spot for him on the lineup. But I got my fingers crossed for him. I don't know if you've heard any interviews or seen this kid speak, but for a young man, he is very, very mature, very well-spoken. I'm really impressed. I'd like to see him get a start, but I'm also torn because I'd like to see him back in the World Juniors playing for Canada at Christmas time again. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with him. And this is kind of a cool story. It's a sad story, but it's a very cool story with how the Islanders have handled Matthew Schaefer so far. So he lost his mom last February, and then shortly after that lost his billet mom, who he was really close with as well. His mom passed away from cancer in February 2024. So he's gone through it. So when the Islanders signed him, they had her initials on the jersey and a little a cancer thing on the jersey. And I thought that was a really cool touch. So when they signed this three-year entry-level contract, they brought Matthew Schaefer in. They brought 20 kids from the Long Island area that had lost parents. And they got a chance for a meet and greet, got some stuff signed. And he spoke to the kids about his resilience and what he's gone through. You know what? I got to say this. I've never been a big Islanders fan. I don't follow the club closely. But since I've been paying attention to this Matthew Schaefer kid and what he's gone through and his story, I am blown away by this Islanders organization. If you're an Islanders fan, this is something you should be very, very proud of. So we'll keep an eye on this kid because I have a feeling if he doesn't play, he goes back to Erie. And there is a chance that he'll make the World Juniors, but I have a sneaky, suspicious feeling that the Islanders are going to put him in camp, and they're going to give him at least a start at the front end of this season. So we might get to see him in the NHL sooner than later. We'll move over to local ball. The Saskatoon Berries and the Regina Red Sox have both made the playoffs.
Hit and run it's going back at the wall, and the Red Sox win it. For the second time in three nights, the Red Sox walk it off.
We have got three teams in Saskatchewan in the East that are doing very, very well. We got Regina and Moose Jaw and the Saskatoon Berries. The playoffs start tomorrow. Saskatoon lines up with Moose Jaw, Medicine Hat versus Regina. So Regina's in tough because the Medicine Hat squad in the WBCL has actually done really, really well. In the West, you're going to have Okotoks versus Brooks, Sylvan Lake against Lethbridge. You might want to look into some tickets and follow your three Sasky teams that are playing excellent ball right now. So we'll keep an eye on those teams here on the Green Zone as well. Okay, I'm looking for your favorite camping spots in Saskatchewan. And start thinking about your grades. I've got mine for this weekend for the game in Montreal. A Riders win, now 7-1. You can text or call the Green Zone at any time, 877-332-8255. Again, that is the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. I am Locker. Jamie will be back next week. He takes the bye weeks off. A couple of conversations I'd like to have on the program today. Camping spots. What's your favorite Sasky camping spot? Was just chatting about this. Moose Mountain, I've been there. I've been to Buffalo Pound. Catepwa. Did I say that right? I said it right. I'm getting a thumbs up from producer Scotty. Cypress Hills Interprovincial Park. That's our favorite so far. We went there this past weekend with friends. And I just had a quick text from Kirk. I will give you an update on my barbecue situation, Kirk. If you remember correctly, I bought a barbecue. I tried to hook this thing up on my own. I ended up with a bag of stuff that didn't get used at the end of it. Was very upset because I thought that this was something that they might be doing on purpose to drive me crazy. I since have proof that that might be the case because I work with somebody in this building that bought, I think, the same barbecue, maybe a different model. And I saw a post from him on his social media, and he was holding a bag of stuff that wasn't used at the end of his construction of the barbecue as well. So I was like, ha-ha! I am not the only one. Now, there was a great deal of concern in my neighborhood and from my wife that this thing would fall apart or blow up. That has not happened. It is now August, and Kirk was suggesting that he was right because we put it on the board. He texted and said, listen, it's going to fall apart by August. This thing is still working. It's fine, Kirk. So you're on the board, has to come off. And nobody was hurt. I did cheat a little bit when I was trying to hook the barbecue up to the gas, the natural gas connection at the back of the house. I realized that there was a strong possibility that I would blow up the neighborhood if I did that on my own. So my wife, who is smarter than me on a number of levels, made me call somebody to come in and hook it up properly. And since that has happened, the barbecue actually works effectively. So, Kirk, your recommendation is not. By the way, I did get some grades from Kirk, which we'll get to down the road, but he's also recommending Jackfish Lake, beautiful golf course. Climbing up to the lighthouse is a fun challenge. Lots of awesome hiking trails in the provincial park as well. Listen, our friends from Alberta that we were camping with this past weekend were blown away by Cypress Hill. And we have plans to go back. Like we said to them, we'll go to you because they had to drive quite a bit further than we did to camp this weekend. And they're like, no. We'll come to, they were that excited about Saskatchewan. It was the first time he'd ever paddled his canoe in a lake in Saskatchewan. And they were blown away, him and his family. By the way, he also did bring his barbecue. And we did a tri-tip on Saturday, which was amazing. So now I'm going to be looking into a portable barbecue that I can take with me for camping. Cause he had this little sort of box. He pulled the thing out. Boom. We set it up Saturday morning, got into the beverages and sat around and did our manly duty of putting together a barbecue. So again, we're looking for your grades for the game. The other conversation that I want to make sure that we have today is what impressed you the most about the Riders this past weekend. I understand. Listen, I was also a little bit leery about this team. There were still some question marks based on the fact that they couldn't put away teams. That Elks win was a win, but at the end of the day, it wasn't like a win-win. This past Saturday in Montreal, that was a win. That was a dominant performance from the beginning of the game right through till the end of the game. So I want to know what's impressing you the most about this Riders team this weekend. I think it's a little bit premature for us to be having a conversation about Grey Cup, or do you think they're bound, or are they contenders? I'd like to leave that conversation alone. Let's just focus on what you think of this team right now. 7-1. When's the last time this franchise has gone 7-1? It has been a while, all right? So on top of the favorite Saskatchewan camping spots, I'd love to hear recommendations because we might be able to get out a couple more times before the end of summer. What impressed you the most about the Riders' win this weekend? And again, the number, as always, is 877-332-8255. That is the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. Up next on the Green Zone, Tom Sargent, the head coach of the Saskatoon Hilltops, looking forward to our conversation with Tom on the beginning of another season for the Hilltops. This is 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone. Jamie Locker. Jamie's off doing a bit of a solo thing this week. Tom Sargent, the Saskatoon Hilltops of the Prairie Football Conference. He is the head coach. The Hilltops play in the CJFL. Tom has over 30 years of experience and has been the head coach of the Hilltops for over 25 years. Tom, thanks for joining us here on the Green Zone today.
Hey, my pleasure. Good to hear your voice. Hopefully you're having a good summer. And, yeah, here we go. Football's on.
Football's on, baby. So what goes through your mind, Tom, when you start hearing someone like me rattle off numbers like that?
Just I'm getting old, but I guess, you know, each year I go, that's a good thing. So, yeah.
Nice.
You know, you get around these kids, they keep you young, and the competition keeps the fire burning. So, as I said, I get more of it than I give back. Very lucky to be connected to the Hilltop organization and proud to coach these men between the ages of 18 and 22.
Oh, I love your attitude. How many national championships have you been a part of?
Not enough, but, you know, we will keep chasing it. And I'm not too sure, but, you know, as I said, blessed to be around a lot of that. Been, you know, privileged to coach a lot of great teams with great coaches and great players. And, you know, right now we are so laser focused on 2025. We got stung last year, and the hurt's been real, and you know, what are we going to do about it? You know, no point talking about it. You got to put your money where your mouth is, and we're just going to shit up and practice hard, coach hard, and see where it takes us for this year.
Tom, is that what keeps you coming back, the competition, the competitive nature of the sport?
Bottom line, that's what it is. I believe that's who I am. I've always loved competition as a kid, no matter what the sport, what the situation is, and as I said, it just keeps me burning, and couldn't wait to get back here. Coming back from the lake, it's easy to think about other things, but not a chance. I know when our season ended last year, I just kept burning on the film and watching, you know, and it just makes you realize there's so much more I could have done, we need to do, and we got to do things a little different too, you know, because the reality is players come and go, and so the evolution of the open door with players leaving and going and, you know, finding this new team, looking for new chemistry, you know, that's a real art and a real challenge, and really embracing that for this year. Very excited about this team.
Tom Sargent, the head coach of the Saskatoon Hilltops, joining us here on the Green Zone. What's the biggest difference from today versus when you got started coaching? Is there something that you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that we did things this way, or do you know what I mean? Is there something you can highlight?
Well, to be very frank, I've gotten a little bit smarter as the years have gone on, but I really haven't changed how we've done business. You know, we're pretty simple here. There's a lot of yes sir, no sir. You know, kids come in, they quickly learn what the culture, the ethos is with the Hilltops and what the expectations are, and that really hasn't changed. And, you know, we're from the mentality that, you know, you come into this program, you're going to get coached hard. The expectation is that you play hard, and it's up to my coach to make sure that you're playing smart. Hey, you go in the last 10 years, we traditionally are the best team in the league with not, you know, plus minus turnover, with the least amount of penalties. Like, we just do things in my books, the right way. And we're not looking for a pat in the back. We're not looking for anything like that. It's real simple here. And we'll continue that approach because obviously it served us pretty well.
So, Tom, in this league, you can go through a lot of turnover, and I'm guessing some years it's more than others. How many starters have you got coming back this year, Tom?
Yeah, you know what? So last year, we went through a stretch where, until our last game last year, we had won over 20 straight games, blah, blah, blah. But, that's the thing about football. It's one game at a time. And so we left a lot of starters. They walked out the building. And so we got to replace at least half our starters. It starts at the quarterback position. Trey Reader was the MVP of the league, outstanding offensive player, and he's no longer here. So, you talk about big shoes to fill. So that's that's a lot of heavy work. That's what we're grinding on right now. But, we lost our all-Canadian right tackle, and, the list goes on and on. So, welcome to the reality of amateur sport, but that's the fun of it. At the end of the day, I always tell the coaches, every player is one play away from not playing. So our job's to develop and get everybody ready, because you never know when their moments are. So we're going to find out this year how good a job we did coaching last year, because we need a lot of players ready to go.
In that quarterback room, how many kids have you got?
We've got four quarterbacks on the roster, it's like anything. We didn't see them play. Practice is practice and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you got to get them in the games. You need the lights turned on to see how they act, flow, how they lead, what their poise like. So, the problem was because, we're a lot of tight games at the end of the year, really didn't get to play like Trey played. And the other kids didn't play that much. So going into Winnipeg this weekend, hey, we got question marks. And hopefully by after that game, a lot of those things are answered.
What do you like about this team this year, Tom?
I like how hard they practice. I like how they compete. And, the one thing I felt when we didn't get business done last year in the PSC final is just we weren't physical enough. And, we got skill to skill. It looks nice and plays nice and all that. But, as it gets colder and the reality is, teams that are physical traditionally are, for the most part, going to be teams that are going to be successful. So we need to ramp that up. We did a real good job of cleaning out the cupboards, as they say, and we're looking for players that play a certain brand of football. I want to coach a team that is the best tackle team, best blocking team. A lot of basics. We're just going to get to basics and make sure our players execute a game plan at 100 miles an hour.
So in the Prairie Football Conference, Tom, is there a team just based on maybe a hanging on to their starters from last year, or a team that was rolling at the end of the season last year that you're more concerned about than others?
Well, I think that Regina Thunder, the PFC champs from last year, so they're the number one team. They've earned that right. They played hard. They're well coached, and they got great kids over there. Anytime, just like our point, anytime you get a Saskatchewan kid on your roster, that's a pretty good thing. And so we can never take the eye. I think it's been the last 5 or 6 years we ran into each other in the PFC championship. So, we're going to be real. But, the Calgary Colts have certainly ramped up their roster, and the Edmonton Huskies. So, we feel there's four teams, right now that are, all sort of, within each other. So, we're one game at a time. We're not going to get too far ahead or look too far back. But we know we got a, team we talk about here is getting better 1% every day, and whoever shows up on game day, we know we got to play our best in order for us to have some success.
Tom, you mentioned the first game, so you're on the road to start the season off? Okay.
Yeah, we're off to Winnipeg. So, always a tough bus trip, but as I said, I just was cleansing the roster there, and I would say there's going to be at least, in Travel 46, we're going to have at least 17 new players on that road trip. So that's exciting. At the end of the day,
that's fun.
Yeah. So that's part of the last year. I knew what I had. I knew what we were, and we were what we were, but this year, no clue.
That's fantastic. When's your first matchup with the Regina Thunder, Tom?
We play them. I think we're in Regina. I think it's in the first week in September. We have a bye. We play three games and a bye. Then we play them game four. So we play them game four, game seven. And you always know that's going to be a great – it's a great rivalry. And you know, we always, you know, enjoy getting between the lines because at least you know where you stand, you know, after that game in terms of what type of football team you have.
So – in the past, you played in Mosaic. I think you're still playing in Mosaic, but yep. The Regina Thunder have moved most of their games over to Libel, if I'm not mistaken, right?
They have, but I've never been there. We traditionally,
okay,
because you know, it's a you know it's pretty good energy, and so we traditionally have played at the big stadium. But,
yeah,
you know it's great for us, great for them, and we love going there. But hey, we'll play them in a back alley. We'll play whatever, right? This is our rival game. We'll just show up wherever they want us to play. We're in.
So, Tom, if I'm not mistaken, I had a quick look at your bio. So you had daughters, right?
Yeah, two girls, you bet.
Two girls, and I mean, maybe they are into football, but now you got a grandson. Is the grandson into football?
Well, he started little tykes this year, so I pretty much made it to every practice. Of course, I'm the one that pays for it, and I'm excited to get him involved in this great game. And it's funny, as I'm here right now, we're running our high school camp, Saskatoon Hilltop High School camp, and there's 140 kids from all over this great province, and like Lloydminster, LaRonge, PA. It's just awesome. So, you know, just football's alive and well, and I sure love being around all of this.
That's fantastic. So, Tom, I had daughters as well, and one of the things that I said to my daughters was because I tried to get them into hockey, and they both, like, there was complete pushback on that. So I said, the grandkids, there's no choice. They have no choice. They're playing hockey. So you better have boys and they're playing hockey. Was it similar with you and the daughters with your grandson?
Absolutely. But you know, my daughter's been so supportive of the whole process.
That's awesome.
Like my wife, they are Hilltops, and hey, that's why I've been able to do it as long as I have, because they are, they're into it as much as I am, and they help to motivate me and keep me humble. And make sure that I appreciate every opportunity I get to be around great kids.
Tom, you're a great football mind. I'm just curious. We're going to be having a conversation through the course of the Green Zone today about what impressed everyone the most about this past weekend's win in Montreal. So do you mind weighing in a bit on the Riders and your thoughts on where this team is at right now?
Well, no question. Well, number one, you can tell in Coach Mace's program that they're just growing and growing, and Jeremy O'Day has done a fantastic job. You know, injuries always happen at that, you know, at any level. He's done a phenomenal job of replenishing that roster, making sure that the next man up, there's not much deviation from the talent. And so, you know, with Harris on point and the O-line playing as good as I've seen him play in the last couple of years, that's why they're moving the chains and putting the ball in the end zone. And the defense has done a great job of getting on people, creating the pressure, and quarterback doesn't look very comfortable there. So, you know, and with the special teams they got going, big play potential, holy cow, this has got to be a great year for the green and white, and they got to be thinking big picture about playing big games at the end, and they're on course. There's no question about it. So, great, you know, coaches have got a great job. You know, second year, you can tell they got their systems, you know, more connected to everyone, platform, everyone understands their role, where they're at, and yeah, they're playing fast and aggressive. Fun to watch.
Tom Sargent.
Our goal is to play like them.
Yes, no kid. Tom Sargent, Saskatoon Hilltops, the head coach. We look forward to your first trip to Regina, my friends, to take on the Regina Thunder. And you have a fantastic season. As always, we appreciate your time when you jump on the Green Zone with us.
Hey, you're the best. Thanks so much. And all the best to you guys. Take care.
Take care, my friend. All right, now we're back with this day in sports history, and we celebrate Warren Moon and Usain Bolt. That's next, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Jordan, open, Chicago with the lead.
Here's Joe Sakic.
All right, this day in sports history on the Green Zone, it was August 5th, 2006, and Warren Moon becomes the first black quarterback. Kind of surprising. 2006, just wrap your head around that. He was the first black quarterback to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Moon, rolling left. Unfortunate to Slaughter. Touchdown, Houston Oilers. Warren Moon under pressure. Gets the ball off, unloads to Webster Slaughter.
All right, he is on. He went in with a couple of big names as well. So that same year, it was Troy Aikman, John Madden, Rayfield Wright, Harry Carson, and Reggie White all that year were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. August 5th, 2012, Jamaican sprinter superstar Usain Bolt wins the 100-meter at the London Olympics. His score was 9.63 seconds. That breaks a record that he set in 2008 at the Olympics.
Bolt going right in. Here comes Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt storming through. He takes it again. 9.64. Oh, he's retained his title in the most emphatic way. Is the fastest man on the planet.
Usain Bolt also holds the world record for the 100-meter sprint. He achieved that time 9.58 seconds in the 2009 World Championships in Berlin. I remember when he was running, it was ridiculous. It was must-watch television. I don't know about you, but I'm a massive Olympics fan. So I'll watch as soon as it's on. We just turn it on. I can't wait for 2020. I can't wait for next year in Italy for the Winter Olympics. But when it's on, we watch everything. It's just, it's nonstop. So big fans of the, and any time he was racing, it was like, all right, you need to stop what you're doing. Interesting note. So we went down to Jamaica, my wife and I. It was a radio trip thing that we were on, and we were on this little tour. And at one point in the tour, the guide pointed up at a house and said, that's where Usain Bolt. So he went back to Jamaica, built a big mansion on top of this hill, and he does a ton of charity work. He's got a foundation, Usain Bolt Foundation. So he's actually done a lot to give back after his Olympic career, which is really, really nice to see. So kind of a cool story there. Man, he was so fast. There were some races, it looked like he was 10, 20 feet ahead of the guy. And obviously it's seconds, but he was just blasting. Our Green Zone NFL preview series continues with a look at the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be an interesting year for Dolphin fans. Up next, we got Travis Wingfield, and Travis covers the team on the Miami Dolphins podcast network. So looking forward to our conversation with Travis. That's coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.